Hi, here is my presentation of Masechet Kinim, the first parak, the first Mishnah. Because I'm going to focus on the unique logic of Masechet Kinim for first-time learners, especially for regular, normal 14-year-old students, I'm going to skip over the Torat Moshe basis for the examples in Masechet Kinim, and also skip over almost all of the halacha relevant to the Kinim examples, since these can easily be found in most any introduction to Masechet Kinim. For anyone who is not a first-time learner of Masechet Kinim, because from my experience, I've come to believe that these details will only confuse a first-time learner of Masechet Kinim, frustrating him from appreciating the logic that is so important to learn here. As I mentioned in the introduction presentation, these current recordings are divided into two sections, the first half being a simple overview of Masechet Kinim in a straightforward way, and the second half being some of my own peculiar observations, which I have not found mentioned in any of the commentators. Okay. Masechet Kinim begins with definitions, and for any development of logic, the first thing we really have to get through is definitions, however dry or boring they sometimes may feel. Some of these definitions at the beginning of Masechet Kinim, in this Mishnah specifically, will be used often in the Masechet. Some of them may be used in the Masechet if you are curious about possible ramifications. And some of them don't seem to have any relevance to the rest of the Masechet, and these never again used aspects seem to be here to teach us how to build a complete definition, which is the first essential step in any logical development, to have a complete definition. Okay, two important example aspects to keep in mind. Important example aspect to appreciate is that until this Mishnah tells us otherwise, the example of birds are to be considered as identical to each other for two reasons. First of all, these birds are pigeons or doves, and they're incredibly affordable. If you can't afford to give a kid who's trapped them a coin or two, you can take a box and a stick and put out some breadcrumbs, and the pigeon will come to peck at the breadcrumbs and the box will fall over and you've got your pigeons or your doves. So there's no tircha, there's no stress involved in being able to acquire or obtain these birds for the korbanot. The second thing is that we don't want to take responsibility for some Talmud Chacham who's mistaken. There are Talmidei Chachamim and bird experts who may say, oh yeah, I remember my pigeon had this spot here or this broken feather there. But there are other chachamim and other experts who may be mistaken, and since it's so easy for them to acquire new birds, we decided that all birds are identical and affordable, and that's it. And we don't accept the simanim of somebody who says they're an expert and can identify their specific bird or birds. Another example aspect which we should know is that the mizbeach, the altar on which korbanot are brought, had a horizontal line called the chut ha-sikra, which sort of is dividing between the upper part of the mizbeach and the lower part of the mizbeach. Okay, so the Mishnah begins. Chatat ha'of na'aset lamata. If we have a korban chatat, a sin offering, which is the culmination of a tshuva process, and if to fulfill that korban chatat, the person brings ha'of, a bird, then you take the blood of this bird, however it's applied, and you bring it lamata, underneath the chut ha-sikra on the mizbeach, you bring it down. And if you have a korban chatat, a sin offering, which is a behema, which is a beast, you bring the blood of that beast, of that korban behema, lamala, above the chut ha-sikra on the mizbeach. Alternatively, if you have an ola, a korban ola, a free offering, and what you're bringing is a ha'of, a bird, na'aseit, you'll take the blood of that korban ola bird, and you'll bring it lamala, above the chut ha-sikra on the mizbeach, And likewise, if you have an olah, a free offering, which is a behema, which is a beast, you'll bring the blood of that korban olah behema lamata, underneath the chut ha-sikra on the mizbeach. So this is an archetype definition. It has three parts to it that you have to answer, including the duality of substitutions. What do I want to do? Do I want to bring a korban chatat or a korban olah? What do I have? Do I have a bird or a beast? And how do I accomplish what I want to do with what I want to, with what I have? Is that to bring the blood of this korban above the chut ha-sikra or below the chut ha-sikra? This at least is some, this duality of substitutions comprises a complete definition, at least for the logic that we're going to learn in Masechet Kinim. This also is the kind of template that you should use for any complete definition. There may be cases where someone says the only way to do something is with this, or the only way to do something is in such a manner. It may be that that's all that's known at that time. It may be that the alternative is too expensive or too cumbersome or hard to find. But a complete definition always has substitutions. It has substitutions of what I want to do. It has substitutions of what I might have. And it has a substitution of what, how I would accomplish what I want to do with what I have. Okay? Im shina bezeh o bezeh pasul. If you brought the blood of the bird or the beast as a chatas or an ola other than the above or below that you're supposed to, it's called pasul. It did not it's invalid. You did not accomplish what you wanted to accomplish. Yes, you might have brought a korban. You might have brought the birds. Yes, you might have brought a korban. But these birds or that korban are pasul. They haven't accomplished what you wanted to do. Now, the diagram for this, just so that you can see it, okay, is that there's a kind of a logic to this. A chatat, a person who does a chet, was imagined before doing the chet or while doing the chet that they were going to get some profit out of it. Meaning, they and then they have charota, they regret what they've done, they understand, either because emotionally or psycho-spiritually they regret it, or they realize that there was no profit from it and this was a waste of their time and effort to do such a backwards thing. And the example you would see for a chatat is a chatat. The person tried to put the birds instead of on the sky, they put them on the ground. Okay? And therefore we're going to take the korban chatat of the bird and we're going to use it below the chut ha-sikra mizbeach. Alternatively, the korban chatat, if they have a beast, they thought, there's more places to graze their cows in the clouds than there is on the ground. It doesn't work. And therefore, the token reward that they get for their tshuva process at the end of this chet and tshuva is that the chatat behema is used above the chut ha-sikra on the mizbeach, backwards. Ola, where they want to do the way it's supposed to be done, so birds are normally in the sky, and so ola ta'of, the blood is above on the mizbeach. And behemas are normally on the ground, so ola the behema is down. Okay? That's sort of an easy way to remember this definition, even though half of it we're never going to use again. Okay? Now, comes the wording, seder kinim kachu. The order of Masechet Kinim is as follows, or is reduced to, or is accordingly. And that is to say that nests are firstly comprising hachova. You have an obligatory nest, which is made up of echad chatat ve'echad ola. It's made of one chatat and one ola, one sin offering and one free offering. And this korban, this ken chova, is brought, an example such as after childbirth, because we assume that the mother in her pangs of birth had some vows, either that she expressed or that she felt with regard to her husband, who had somehow been part of the cause of this pangs of birth. And now that she's given birth, she wants to stop this. Okay. and she wants to disavow her, to cancel her nether. And likewise, after the birth, she's very happy with the result that she has a baby, and therefore she wants to bring a korban ola. So the ken chova, one of the examples where we would bring a ken chova of two birds, one to be a chatat and one to be an ola, is for a yoledet, for a mother who's given birth. Likewise, there's a similar ken chova for a zav or a zava. These birds are what we would call today entangled. So if I bring a pair of birds to the Kohen and I say, this is my ken chova, the Kohen understands that if he uses one for a chatat, he has to use the other for an ola, or if he uses one for an ola, he has to use the other for a chatat. Likewise, for example, if a woman gives birth three times, and then she finally gets to come to Yerushalayim to bring her korbanot, she can bring a nest that has six birds in it, a box of six birds, and the Kohen says, what is this? And she says, I gave birth three times. This is my ken chova for the three births. And these six birds are entangled, meaning he has to use half of them, three of them as a chatat and three of them as an ola. Okay, it doesn't matter which one he uses as a chatat and which one he uses as an ola, as long as he doesn't violate this entanglement restriction. Again, we have a duality of substitutions. In addition to chatat and ola, we have an ofen behema, we have a ken chova, and we have a ken, a nest, which is for a neder or an adava. Okay, and neder and adava in themselves is a duality of substitutions. We have two different types. Again, these are not exactly symmetric and they're not exactly identical. There are some dualities involved. So a neder, if a person says, but in the nest of a neder or an adava, all of the birds brought in that nest are going to be brought as ola. Technically, it could be a single bird, but for the for kinim, for nests, really when we talk about nedarim or nedavot, we're talking about even numbers of birds. Okay? And likewise, these birds are going to be identical. So, ezehu neder, what is a neder? Ha'omer hare alai ola. The person declares, upon me is the obligation to bring a korban ola. The ezohi nedava, and what is this free offering, this nedava korban? The person declares, harezu, points to some birds, and he says, those are the ones that I want to bring as the ola. So, ma ben nedorim le nedava, what is the difference between these vows, the nedorim, and the free offering, the nedavot? Ela sheha nedorim, rather, with the neder, if the birds that are purchased, that the person wants to bring to fulfill their korban ola for the neder, if these metu or nignavu, if these dies or are stolen, chayavim biachriosam, you're obliged to bring substitutions for them, even if their die is stolen multiple times when you go to buy them and bring them, because you are still alive, therefore you are still obliged. V'nedavot, and these free offerings, what about those birds, metu or nignavu, if they die or if they're stolen? Ein chayavim biachriosam. You have no further obligation because you said these, you can't bring these. End of the story, no more obligation. Regarding the second half of this presentation, now I'll try to bring some of my own peculiar observations, most of which I have not found mentioned in any of the commentators. Some of which I found some fragments in the commentators, but in this case, but I didn't see them worked out in detail anywhere. Okay, so here we go again. Chatat ha'of naset lamata v'chatat behema lamala. Like we said, the fix of the chatat is backwards from the way we find it in the world. Chatat ha'of, oafs are usually in the sky, but we did it backwards, so we're going to bring the blood of it down instead of up where we'd normally find birds. Chatat behema. Behemas we normally find on the ground, but we somehow wanted to put them in the sky. So the korban chatat behema is above. For ola, we want to do the way we find it normally in the bria. So ola ta'of, birds are normally in the sky, and the blood of the ola ta'of is above. And behemas are normally on the ground, so the olat ha-behema, the blood of it is brought down. Okay? Now, let's look at this again from a different perspective. What about from the perspective of oaf and behema? Okay? An oaf is something that a poor person brings. A behema, even though a rich person can bring a bird, he says, hey, let me just tell my shepherd to bring me the best behemoth, the best beast that I have in the flock, because it's respectful for my status, even though he could bring a pigeon or a dove too. Okay? So, chatata of, the poor person made a mistake. So let's put it to the blood of it at the bottom of the Mizbeach. Somebody who's walking by the Mizbeach, they say, what is this blood at the bottom of the Mizbeach? That's Plony, the poor person made a mistake and has come back in tshuva. Fine. What happens with the Chatat Behema? Rich guy made a mistake. He didn't need the extra profit, but he finally realizes there's something bigger than his profit margin, which is his Yirat Shamayim. So he closes his doors on Shabbos, he throws out all his dishes and gets no dishes, whatever it is. Chatat ha-behema, the blood of his beast offering, is above the chuta sita, and it's something you can see from far away. It's like a bat call. Everybody, it goes out in the world, this great announcement that Plony the rich guy became a bal tshuva. This is amazing. What happened with the olat ha-of? Poor person, he can barely get by day to day or week to week. And somehow at the end of 30, 40 years, he saved up enough money to donate a Sefer Torah to the Beit Knesset. So, olat ha'of lamala, you can see this from far away, goes out a bat kol. Amazing, Plony, the poor guy, he was able to accomplish something that nobody ever expected in addition to his normal life. And I wish collectors would remember this when they come to the rich guy. Guy wants to donate $1 zillion to build a building or to donate something in his name. Ola tabahema lamata. When you walk past that building, you see the plaque with the guy's name on it, but there's no bat kol for it after the dedication. And so really the two big things is the chatat habehema, the rich guy coming back in tshuva, or this extra special effort that this poor guy does to do more than he would actually have to do. Okay. Im shina baze obze pasul. Now, if this is changed, if it's brought any other way, then this is not valid. And this idea of pasul is slightly different than the way you would normally assume it to be. This is a hint that most of the possible errors are not allowed. Okay, we'll see later in further presentations how this subtle difference of puzzle becomes significant. Keening is a risk-avoiding protocol. We're looking for sharp, dawn-type boundaries, the way I described in the introduction presentation, versus, as I mentioned in the introduction presentation, Nida is a risk-averting protocol. It has fuzzy, dusk-type boundaries. It's not risk aggregating and it's not risk mitigating. It's risk averting, but you can't guarantee to avoid the risk. Whereas in keening, we're definitely going to see that we're going to avoid the risk. We'll see this later in further presentations. Im shina bazeh o bazeh pasul. We've accomplished something, but not what we were obliged to do. And very, very important, pasul is the status after something is completed. Pasul does not refer to a specific bird. Pasul means have I successfully accomplished what I wanted to do with what I have. If I haven't, it's pasul. Okay? It's not the specific bird or beast. All the birds and beasts are fine. There's no pasul bird or birds here. Okay, we're only going to see that the status of some bird becomes pasul so that I can do as much as I can do without having any risk. Seder kinim kachu. Now, another thing we should remember in Mishnah, there are no extra words. It's not that they had some extra space on the parchment or some extra ink. So here are at least five of my attempts to appreciate why these words are here. Seder Kinim Kachu, because Masechet Kinim is in a peculiar order, meaning what you learned earlier may come to be necessary to understand what you're taught later. You just can't start in the middle of the Masechet and go, what's going on in this Mishnah? Each Mishnah gives you some tools of logic, and you may come to need those tools to understand the subsequent Mishnah in this Masechet. Second, Seder Kinim Kachu. Masechet Kinim is sort of worthy of being a separate order of Mishnah, but it's too short. So like the text between the inverted nuns in Bamidbar, Vayehi b'nisa Aharon vayomer Moshe, Kuma Hashem v'yafutzu avecha v'yonusu misanecha mipanecha, Ubenuchot yomar shuva Hashem revavot alfei Yisrael. That bit, a bit between the two inverted nuns is appreciated as if it too is a separate book, which would mean as if Sefer Bamidbar is actually broken up into three books. Then it would be that as if Torah Moshe actually has seven books. Likewise here, it's as if suggesting that there's actually seven orders of Mishnah. Since this last Masechet and Seder Kodshim, Masechet Kinim, is actually like a separate order of Mishnah. Third possible reason, maybe Seder Kinim Kachel refers back to the order of the four cases and the definition. Since the bird of the poor person, let's go back to look at it. Since the chatata of naset lamata may be the most important or the most precious thing to do, and the chatat behema lamala is important and precious, but not so much as the poor person bringing his bird, and likewise the poor person bringing his as a korban ola, in addition, when he brings it lamala, maybe that's important, but not as important as someone doing the tshuva process, whether they're rich or poor. And least important, but still precious, is the olat ha-behema lamata, the rich person bringing their korban behema. Okay, those are. And then there's a fourth reason. You'll notice the Rambam breaks up, starts the next Mishnah as Seder Kinim Kachu, for what would seem to be a very simple reason. Masechet Kinim, Kinim is nests, plural. And what we've set up to here is singular. So it's an introduction, but it's not really part of the Seder. It's just something you have to know to get started. Okay. Another thing that we really have to look at, fifth possible reason, is that it's important to notice and to consider that the first half of a Mishnah, not just here, but apparently sort of everywhere, should feel sort of simple and straightforward. While the second half of a Mishnah, the Seifa, tends to bring some novel variation, whether that's the halacha or not. And if there's no second half to a Mishnah, if there's no Seifa, only the Reisha, then there might be a candidate novel variation in one of the Meforshim with one of the commentators, or wake up, everybody. This may be waiting for you, that you may actually have something to add on the margins that says there's another way of looking at this. And that actually might be the Sefer that everybody's waiting for that's still not in the Mishnah, not on the margins. If we're like most versions, we don't break up here, but sort of like the Rambam, then here with the clause Seder Kinim Kachu, we break up and say, here begins the second half of this Mishnah. Hachova, the obligatory nests, Echad Chatat Vechad Ola, has one sin offering and one free offering. This also describes the ongoing here and now life obligation of a person. Half of a person's normal here and now life obligation is to recognize, admit, and fix life errors. the other half of a person's normal chova, here and now life obligation, is to try to make some life progress. Benedorim unadavot kulan olot. In addition to the person's here and now life obligations, a person might try to make additional life progress. Ezehu neder? What's this vow? Ha'omer harei alai ola. The Ezehu is a masculine type declaration. It's looking externally at a situation and saying, this is a situation that needs fixing, and I want to take on the obligation of fixing it. So part of that fix is the importance of the person in doing it. Ezehi nedava, ha'omer harezu ola. He is feminine. And a feminine type declaration, even if it's external, is, hey, I see something that needs doing, let me try to do it. It's zu. So ma ben adorim nadavot, what's the difference between these vows and free offering? Eile shen adorim meitro negnevim chayavim biachriosam. Perhaps the global external view of appreciating a need is when the person has the nether and then the need still applies. They went out to buy something to fix something and it got broken, it got lost. It still needs fixing. And they said, I want to fix this. It's important to me to see this fixed. But the feminine side, so-called, unadavot meitu anugavim ein chayavim biachriosam, it's not necessarily multitasking. It's rather focusing on an as-seen, as-needed basis. So I turn my head in this direction, and that's not supposed to be there. Pick it up and move it. I turn my head back there a few minutes later, and somebody else moved it. It's okay. It's fixed. No problem. In summary, from these simple duality definitions, let's review all of the dualities. You have chatat and ola, which is chatat, the sin offering is an error fix, versus the ola is an advancement. You have birds and beasts. You have of and behema, which is like poor people and rich people. You have above and below, lamala and lamata from the chuta sikra and the mizbeach. Above is like it's public, whereas lamata is as if it's private. You have valid versus pasul, which is invalid. You have obligatory, ken chova versus voluntary, neder and nedava, which is like masculine or feminine. And we have residual obligations, chayavim biachriosam, or no residual obligations. Sorry, it's gone, can't do it, no problem. In summary, from these simple duality definitions of limited detail, the logic of Masechet Kinim is here and after going to be built. That is the sharp dawn-type logic, which, as I mentioned in the introduction presentation, and the fuzzy dusk-type logic, which is exemplified and developed in the example of Piskei Nida of Masechet Nida. Okay. Yes, this is to recall another duality example, halacha logic. Since halacha logic itself is the application of one or two different aspects. One of the aspects is that we're going to see this very sharp logic of Masechet Kinim, and the other is this kind of fuzzy logic that we'll see God willing in Masechet Nida someday. Thank you.